The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 35, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 9th, 2017, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadi Dasyasi Abhimatan Varan Me Varada Uttama Bhutebhya Tvat Vishrishtebhya Mridyu Ma Bhut Mama Prabho Yadi dasyasya bhimatam Varanme varadottama Bhutebhyastvadvishishtebhyo Mrityurma bhunmama prabho Yadi dasyasya bhimatam Varanme varadottama Bhutebhyastvadasrishtebhyo Mrityurma bhunmama prabho Yadi If Dasyasi You will give Abhimatan The desired Varan benedictions may unto me Varada Uttama, O best of all benedictors, Bhutebhya from living entities, Svat by you, Vishrishtebhya who are created. Mrityu, death, ma, not, bhut, let there be, mama, my, prabho, O my Lord. Translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my Lord, O best of the givers of benediction, if you will kindly grant me the benediction I desire, please let me not meet death from any of the living entities created by you. Purport. After being created from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the original created living being within the universe, created many other different types of living entities to reside in this universe. Therefore, from the beginning of creation, the living entities were born of a superior living entity. Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme living being, the father of all others, Aham Bija Pradapita. He is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Thus far, Hiranyakashipu had adored Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is expected to become immortal by the benediction of Lord Brahma. Now, however, having come to understand that even Lord Brahma is not immortal because at the end of the millennium Lord Brahma will also die, Hiranyakashipu is very carefully asking him for benedictions that will be almost as good as immortality. His first proposal is that he not be killed by any of the different forms of living entities created by Lord Brahma within this material world. We have to give Hiranyakashipu credit for really trying hard to be immortal in this material world. He really tried hard. But as we all know, he failed. So we may try very hard to make all kinds of arrangements to enjoy in this place. Working very, very hard. This arrangement, that arrangement, so many big arrangements. You see. Internet, this net, that net. You see. Won't work. This is not our place. We're inhabitants of a different place called Padavyoma, the spiritual sky. That fish, he eyed the creatures on the land and he thought, they look like they're enjoying more than me. Let me hop out of the water and try to be a land creature. Is that possible? The fish can enjoy on the land? So many arrangements can be made. Give him a nice Mercedes Benz, a beautiful girlfriend, a big mansion. Give him so many arrangements, Mr. Fish, to be happy on the land. Will it work? No. So here we are, fish out of the water, struggling like anything, making so many arrangements to try to be happy here. This arrangement, that arrangement, big arrangement. It's all a failure. Complete failure. But fortunately, great personalities like His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, agree to come here to rescue us fish. They agree to come, taking so many burdens upon themselves, you see. So many burdens. This is the compassion of these great Vaishnavas. They take so many troubles upon themselves. Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Jesus Christ being nailed to a cross. And what was his mood? For those who were executing him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is compassion. Even if you're torturing me, still I will pray for your benediction. So how indebted we are to these great acharyas who've given everything to rescue us from this madness. And they are still acting. It's not that these great acharyas are dead and gone. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur has very nicely reminded us, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound and living try to spread the holy name around. So it is not that our Srila Prabhupada is gone. He only appears to be gone. It's like we say about Lord Krishna, Vrindavanam parinyaja napada ekam gacchati. Krishna never sets even one foot outside of Vrindavan. He only appears to leave Vrindavan, you see, to increase the ecstasy of the Brijabasis. Because to love someone in separation is more intense than love someone in meeting. So Krishna blessed the Brijabasis by his so-called departure from Vrindavan. But actually he never left. So it may appear that Prabhupada has also left. But that is external appearance only. Prabhupada is still here. He's living fully in the hearts of those who are totally dedicated to pushing forward his mission all over the world. the sold out Prabhupada Nugas, they carry Prabhupada within their hearts. And just by associating with these Prabhupada Nugas, those who have given their lives fully to Prabhupada, we can connect with Prabhupada. And by connecting with Prabhupada, we connect with Krishna. And by connecting with Krishna, we will fully realize that this is not our place. This is not at all our place. But does that mean we have to be miserable? This is a miserable place, there's no doubt. Does that mean we have to be miserable? No. Papa Dod, our godbrother, Bhavananda. Do you know what Bhavananda means? He said, one who becomes blissful by preaching. So this material world for a devotee is actually like a kid in a candy shop. For one who takes up the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this material world is a magical wonderland. It's a place with unlimited preaching opportunities. Giving Krishna here, giving Krishna there, you see. Every opportunity for giving Krishna is like another piece of candy, you see. Another piece of candy. Submitting books, publishing books, chanting and dancing in ecstasy, cultivating people, talking about Krishna, you see. Opening temples, managing temples, you see. These are ecstatic. As Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, he says, Susukam. You cannot find anything about this process that you can say, Swamiji, this point is troublesome. It is simply recreation. So that is our actual process. What if you're feeling, oh, this is drudgery sometimes in this service or that service? I'm feeling it's drudgery. What does that mean? It means I'm covered over. I don't realize this is ecstatic. Scrubbing this pot is nectar. Sweeping the floor, cleaning the toilet is actually nectar. But it's for Prabhupada. It's for Krishna. You see? We have to learn how to, as Krishna says, bhaktya. Patram pushpam palam payam yo me bhaktya. That bhaktya is very important, with devotion, with love. Not mechanically. See, in the beginning we do service mechanically. But by seeing the older devotees, the more experienced Vaishnavas, who relish bhakti, relish doing devotional service, as we saw Prabhupada, every little thing about Prabhupada, he was in ecstasy. I remember seeing him in Atlanta, simply offering the arti to his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada was in total ecstasy, fanning his Guru Maharaj. So by seeing Prabhupada and seeing those who are in that mood of bhakti, how they can deeply relish even the most simple activity, the most simple activity. You see, then we can also learn, you see. They have a saying in English, monkey see, monkey do. So I'm just some monkey, you see. I don't have very much brain, but I can see someone is doing this, so I can also try to do it, you see. So in this way, we have to follow those who are setting ideal examples. Actually, Krishna can be captured. We are meant to capture Krishna. Krishna is eager to be captured by our love. So how do you capture Krishna? You have to be captured by Krishna. My dear Krishna, now I belong to you. Please take full control over me. Let my every thought, my every word, my every deed in all times, places, and circumstances be purely, absolutely pleasing to you. This mood of fully dovetailing ourselves with Krishna, this endears us to Krishna. As Prabhupada said, Krishna is ajita, he is unconquerable, but he becomes jita or conquered by the love of his devotees. So, what's the bottom line? Don't cheat yourself. By not fully embracing bhakti, we are cheating ourselves big time. Like being the son of a millionaire and running away and being a pauper on the street. It's called dullard. We're so dull, we go on cheating ourselves. Instead of embracing pure bhakti, we're attached to lust, anger, greed, madness, delusion, and envy. Dullheads. We're dull-headed people. And by this process that Prabhupada has given us, gradually we can come out of this stupor of dull-headedness and actually realize I have no business except to think about Krishna, talk about Krishna, bow down to Krishna, fully absorb myself in Krishna in all times, places, and circumstances, whether I'm a sannyasi, a brahmachari, a householder, whatever it may be. You see, I have no business except to fully absorb myself in Krishna. And what is the best means of doing that in this age of Kali? Jarede katare kaha Krishna upadesh amara gaya guru hoyutare desh. Prabhupada explains that the order of Krishna, sarvadharman parityaja, to fully surrender to him, in this Kali Yuga takes the shape of jarede katare kaha Krishna upadesh. So surrender to Krishna means absorption in preaching Krishna consciousness. In this age of Kali, that's how we do it. We dedicate ourselves fully to this preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has been taken by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada out of India and gone. Prabhupada has globalized it. Formerly, Lord Chaitanya's movement was localized in India. Prabhupada globalized it. The ISKCON is the globalization of Chaitanya's movement. The other day I was just meditating on the meaning of that Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschacha Desha Tarine. I was focusing in on Paschacha Desha Tarine. Prabhupada is delivering the Western countries. Of course, that means he's delivering the whole world. So we pray that Prabhupada is delivering, not something in the past. Prabhupada right now is delivering. You see, Desha Tarini. He's delivering. Right now, Prabhupada is actively engaged in delivering the world. Just like he said in his final days here at Vrindavan, just a few meters away, laying in his bed. He said, they say the old man is dying, but I am on beating on my madanga and it can be heard all over the world. So Prabhupada is still beating on his madanga and it is still being heard all over the world, you see. So all we have to do to become fixed up is dance to the beat of his madanga. With our every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, we must always dance to the drum of Prabhupada. And if we do that, miracles will happen. We will see this movement completely take over the world. Prabhupada told one of my godbrothers, he said, if you will simply absorb yourself in reading, chanting and preaching as much as possible, very soon this will be the only religion in the world. Wow. Just imagine that everybody was chanting Hare Krishna in every town and every village, every government. Before they begin their parliamentary session, they have a kirtan. Just imagine. Is it simply a fool's dream? A pipe dream? And Prabhupada said that if we simply absorb ourselves in reading, chanting, and preaching, very soon this will be the only religion in the world. Now some may say, well, it's not really possible, so why even think about it or try for it? You'll just be frustrated. But you know what? Here's what Prabhupada says. A Krishna conscious being, his mood. Prabhupada defines what is the mentality or the activity of a Krishna conscious person. It's a wonderful definition. He said, a Krishna conscious being is always planning how to deliver the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So, do we get up in the morning and think, what can I do to make the world Krishna conscious today? You see, that's beyond the brain. What can I do to push forward this movement? Every devotee should be thinking that way, all the time. What can I do? What can I think, say, and do that will help push forward this movement right now? You see? That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. His mood, the devotee's mood, is how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. So he may not be successful in doing that, but his perfection is guaranteed. So it's a good meditation. It's the save the world meditation is a very good meditation for every devotee to have. It's my duty to see that this movement is successful in saving the world. So if nothing else, it guarantees your perfection if you think like that. And you might make a few devotees along the way. Maybe we can make a few million devotees. Prabhupada said if we can make 1% of the world Krishna conscious, the whole world will change into a peaceful atmosphere. We just need 1%. And then he said even less than 1%. So that means that we can even make 50 million, get 50 million people dedicated to this movement of Prabhupada, the whole world atmosphere will change. There'll be peace all over the world. We only need 50 million. That's all we need. So let's go for it. Let's go for making 50 million people Krishna conscious, dedicated to this mission, by ourselves being very pure in our following Prabhupada, and in training everyone else to purely follow Prabhupada's instructions, not mixing it with sense gratification, which is our tendency. Purely following Srila Prabhupada. We can do this. We can just get 50 million people. The whole world atmosphere will change. You won't have this ISIS crisis and all the, you know, the chemical weapon attacks in Syria like just happened the other day. You won't have the whole thing with North Korea. All this stuff will go away if we can just get 50 million people following this process. So let's try. Maybe I can make one devotee. have that mood, you see. But let's go for that 50 million. Let's be enthusiastic to go for it. Enthusiasm is a very important thing. Always be enthusiastic. I got a direct order from Prabhupada when I was a young devotee. When I first joined, I'd been recruited by a very enthusiastic devotee, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. Very enthusiastic preacher. His mood was, you know, push forward the movement, save the world. Very dynamic preacher. So I got initiated by a letter from London, and so I couldn't turn my dakshina in, so I had to mail my dakshina to Prabhupada. So that was great. I got a chance to write Prabhupada a letter along with my dakshina. And being inspired by Vishnu Janaswamy, I told Prabhupada I wanted to spread this movement. Prabhupada, I want to spread the movement. And he's so much appreciated. He wrote me back. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager to push forward this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now just continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Wow. What a great way to begin my devotional life, to have a direct order from Prabhupada. Always be enthusiastic. And if you are, Krishna, he didn't say Krishna will bless you, Krishna will surely bless you. Prabhupada guaranteed that Krishna would bless me. He said, surely he will bless you if you remain, always remain enthusiastic. So even an idiot like me could understand, duh, well, I guess I should be, duh, I guess I should stay enthusiastic. You see? So guess what? Prabhupada's instruction worked. I mean, I'm still here. Krishna has blessed me because I'm still here after 45 years. I'm still here. That's definitely Krishna's blessing. All the ups and downs of devotional life, all the ups and downs of ISKCON, I'm still here, and that's definitely Krishna's blessing. So whatever you do, don't leave. I've seen him come and seen him go. I've seen sannyasis come and go, GBCs come and go, gurus come and go. I've seen it all in 45 years. Any of my godbrothers, I have a few godbrothers here, they know what I'm talking about. We've seen it happen, come and go. But those who stick it out, who, through thick and thin, who tolerate whatever difficulties they are, who stick with this mission, they become very, very, very dear to Prabhupada, very dear to Lord Chaitanya, very dear to Lord Krishna. And they receive his benedictions, oceans of benedictions. So perhaps there's some questions. You can try to answer them. Written is good. Yeah, okay, great. We should try and our best to enlighten people, but people are too much busy with sense gratification, and that greed created in people because of Maya makes it difficult to easily something enlighten them. Yeah, this is the great challenge of being a preacher. We're dealing with a world that doesn't want to hear about Krishna. They just want to know money, money, money. Where's the money? Is it? But the fact is, there are always people who are looking for higher knowledge. They're out there. So in one sense, preaching is a filtering process. You approach everyone to find those people who are inclined to higher knowledge. There are people out there. If you just base your preaching on one person, well, I tried to preach to my parents and they weren't interested, so preaching is useless. No, preaching is a filtering process. It's like in sales, they have a saying, some will, some won't, so what? Next. You just keep moving one to another, to another, another, another. Any book distributor knows. You build up by that endeavor of trying to give everyone Krishna and just being detached from it and just keep giving, 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 you build up energy, shakti, potency, that makes you more and more attractive, you see. So we see that those that some book distributors can go out and do 100 books, some can go out and do only one book, you see. By having faith in this process and preach, 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 you build up a potency where you can actually attract people. So you just got to keep trying and you will get better. How to attain the stage of bhava? Well, you have to go through the preliminary stages first. The first thing is you have to have faith in the process, shraddha. Then you have to associate with devotees, that's sadhu sangha. Then the next stage is you have to become a disciple, the bona fide spiritual master. Sadhu shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya. And then by following the vows, your initiation vows, very strictly, gradually, 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 the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, the envy become diminished more and more. And when they're almost gone, that's called anartana vritti. Then when they become even more gone, then you achieve a stage of nishta, you're a fixed up devotee. When they're almost completely, totally gone, bound up, practically an insignificant nothing, almost, that's the stage of ruchi. And then when they're absolutely, totally gone, that's a sakti. You become totally attached to Krishna. And then the emotions of your actual identity, your spiritual identity, start to manifest in you. That's called bhava stage. So it all begins with having faith in the process, associating, getting initiated, following the initiation vows very strictly. How can I serve Prabhupada without ego? You can't. Actually, ego means identity. He means without false ego. By just being the obedient servant of the instructions given by Prabhupada. It is often said that Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. It certainly is. Actually, that place is there. Krishna's pastimes are going on. Prabhupada explains how at a certain stage a mystic television in the heart becomes activated. You can actually see the pastimes of Krishna going on within the heart. So Vrindavan is there, it's accessible according to your degree of awakening. So how the place Vrindavan influences our state of consciousness. When you come here, this is the external, this is Vrindavan manifested in the material world. Well, how you approach this holy dham will affect how you can connect with Vrindavan within your heart. So once you come here in the mood of a pilgrim, taking the dust of Vrindavan on one's head, come here as the mood of a pilgrim, not a sightseer. Is it okay if during preaching we say things like Krishna will make you opulent or some material gain just to attract them? Not really the best thing. This is what the Christians do. They say, well, you know, you pray to Jesus and you'll get this. But like that prayer the Hindus like to sing, you know. A little parody of it. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. This is not our preaching method, you see. Actually, I did that little parody one evening in Kuala Lumpur, and one man became very angry because he sings that to his kids every night. But then we explained to him, he realized there was a material tinge in that prayer, and he's getting ready to become a disciple, chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Now, we don't really need to do that because material opulence doesn't satisfy. You have to preach and so people understand material opulence doesn't really satisfy the self. You have to enlighten them. Don't bribe them with some promise of material goods. That's not preaching. You have to enlighten them. How can we preach Krishna consciousness when I myself am struggling in Krishna consciousness? How can I do this? Whatever you realize about Krishna, share that with the world. And you know what we'll do? Krishna will do? If whatever you've realized, you share that, Krishna will give even more realization. So don't be shy to share what you know about Krishna with the world. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. I have heard that those who fully surrender to Krishna, they only attain Krishna, but what about those who something to surrender and fail? The thing is, even the endeavor, even if one fails in his attempt to fully surrender to Krishna, he has made some progress. It's like a little kid learning how to walk. You say, my dear little boy, if you can't walk on the first step, don't even try. Is that how we train a kid to walk? My dear son, you've been crawling on all fours now. Unless you can be sure that you can fully walk now with the first step, don't even get up, just stay on all fours. No, of course not. Let the kid try. He'll fall a few times, but finally he'll master it. So we have Krishna consciousness is just like learning how to walk. We flub up. Yeah, we all flub up. At least most, I know I flub up so many ways I flubbed up, you see. But you keep getting up, you keep trying, and by that endeavor, you master it. Are we devotees or are we demons? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a demon for sure. I think you're all devotees and I'm a demon, but I'm trying to be a devotee. Please bless me. I'm asking all you devotees, please bless me that I can be a devotee. I feel I am better than other devotees. He's honest. We're all puffed up, but he's admitting it. We give him credit for being honest. I feel I'm better than other devotees, how to be humble and pure. As a very nice Bhagavatam class I heard in Mumbai one morning several years ago, the devotee was saying, find those devotees who chastise you and move in with them. Need to find devotees who chastise you, because that's what we need. We all need to be chastised. You see, chastise sounds like a bad word, but actually it means to make chaste. When you chastise me, you are making me chaste. You see, you're chasing away my impurities when you chastise me, you see. So find devotees who chastise and take shelter of their association. Those who can actually mercifully point out your faults. We need such devotees. How can we inspire ourselves all the time towards Krishna consciousness and preaching? Read Prabhupada's books. Read. Chant. Preach. Prabhupada's formula. Read, chant, and preach. Actually, all of us should read all the books. Every day, read from Prabhupada's books. Read all the books. And then once you've read them once, go back and read all the books again. Keep reading and reading all the Prabhupada's books again and again. Your whole life, your duty is to read all the Prabhupada's books. He even says that in his purport. He says, all of my disciples have to read all of my books. So unless we've read all the Prabhupada's books, we're in Maya. We haven't followed Prabhupada's order. Read all of Prabhupada's books. And then once you've completed one reading, read them again. What are the practical ways to balance material and spiritual life? 80-20. 80% of your consciousness in the spiritual life and 20% in the material life. You know, you got to eat, you got to sleep. That your consciousness should be 80% on hearing and chanting, preaching, puja, cleaning, you know, all the devotional activities. 80-20 is the balance. The 80-20 rule. We all heard of the 80-20 rule. 80% spiritual, 20% for you thinking about your material situation. But what do I have to work, 50 hours a week? Well, your consciousness has to be, why am I working? Why am I earning this money? Is it for sense gratification or Krishna's service? How you spend that money, how you maintain your apartment, is a place of sense gratification or a place of worship? You see, that'll make the big difference. Now the last question. How can one absorb in Krishna consciousness during very tense office meeting? In argumentative mode or deep engineering discussions? It's the same thing, I was just making the point. Why am I doing this? I'm going out, it's a big hassle going out into the corporate world, getting a job and dealing with all these karmis to do this and that and this and that. You see? You have to try to make it as Krishna conscious as you can. Just like being a house sorter at some time, I was working a job also. I had a job, those from America know, the MCI, long distance company. I think they're gone now, but it used to be big. MCI was big. So when I first went to Austin to do some preaching there, I needed some income. So I went to work for MCI Corporation as a telesales person, signing you up for MCI long distance. And to get hired, you grow your hair out, you put a coat, you put a tie and collar over your beads, you go and look like a normal karmi and get hired. But I was feeling kind of bad, because I've always worn tilak, I always wear tilak. So one day I said, enough is enough. I'm wearing tilak to work. I don't care what happens. I'm just going to wear tilak to work today. So I was really fired up that day. I was making sales like anything. Boom, 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 another sale. And my boss was, he gets paid a commission on my sales, by the way. Terrence Washington was my boss. And he was watching me going, wow. At the end of the day, he said, Mr. Bridge, that's my karmi name, Bridge. He said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on, you must wear it every day. So, you just be as Krishna conscious as you can out there. Put a picture of Prabhupada out, your Guru Maharaj, Do just whatever you can to make the atmosphere Krishna conscious. And you'd be surprised. My boss loved it. He ordered me to always wear tilak after that. So just try to be Krishna conscious. If you can wear tilak and get away with it, do it. Everyone knows the story of that factory that was owned by a Vaishnava. Maybe not everyone knows. Prabhupada tells the story. So there was a Vaishnava-owned factory, and all the workers were Vaishnavas. They all came to tilak, Haribol. They were all happy wearing tilak in their job. But then one day, the owner sold it out to a Muslim. And now there's a Muslim-owned factory. So the new owner said, okay, my dear employees, I see you all wearing tilak. From tomorrow onwards, nobody wears tilak. You want your job, come tomorrow to work without tilak. So everyone showed up without tilak except for one diehard Vaishnava. And the owner called me and said, I told you, no tilak. What is this? He said, I can't do this. I'm a devoted Krishna. I have to wear tilak. I can't go without it. He said, okay, you can wear it, but nobody else. You see? So we have to be, even in the workplace, you have to be Krishna. You have to be Krishna's devotee in the workplace. Not that you become a karmi. Somebody asked me one time in Fiji, they said, are you a full-time devotee or a part-time devotee? I mean, what is that nonsense? Like, if you go to work, you're only a part-time devotee. You have a job, you're only a part-time devotee. When you go to work, you're not a devotee anymore. No, you have to be a devotee at work also. You have to always be a devotee in all times, places, and circumstances, you see. So if you have that mood of being a devotee, wherever you are, at work, at school, in the commute, in the bus, wherever you are, you see, not just only the temple or when with the devotee. No, you have to always manifest Krishna bhakti with every situation, with your family members, wherever you may be. Always be a devotee, and Krishna will bless you. So that's the end of our questions, and if there's nothing else, my question, okay?
Try our best to go back to Godhead.
Yeah?
My question is that if we were supposed to go back, why were created, while we were created so dirty, so filled with toxic greed, so ourselves continuously involved in daily rituals and what doing everything we must not do, and Maya makes us do what we were not supposed to do. If we were supposed to go back, why were we created like this?
Why are we even here?
Why are we up here?
Okay.
Why we were created so dirty?
So Krishna could have kept us all in the spiritual world if he wanted to. Are you a father? You're not. Okay. You were a son, though. No. Did your parents give you the choice to do what you wanted to with your life? Or they kept you as prisoners in the home?
They gave me a choice.
They gave you a choice. Because they love you. They didn't want to keep you as a prisoner in your bedroom so you never got into trouble. You see? They give you the free choice. They give you their love and give you the free choice. What do you want to do with your life? So Krishna is just like your parents. Krishna gives you the freedom. He loves you, but he doesn't want to keep you as a prisoner. He wants you on your own to decide to love him. Not by force, with a gun at your head. Love me or else I'll blow your brains out. You see? Can you love someone that's holding a gun in your head? You have to be pretty transcendental to do that. You see? So that's Krishna's kindness. He gives you the choice to love him or leave him. So those who do stay in the material world, those who do stay in the spiritual world, they truly love Krishna. They're not there out of force. You understand? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Wait, when the bell stops ringing, I'll try to explain it a little further. The bell's getting in the way of it. Okay, that's not. Krishna gives us what is called free will. That makes us persons. If you don't have any free will at all, you're not a person, you're just a puppet. Krishna doesn't want to associate with puppets. He wants persons to associate with. Therefore, he gives you free will. Now, free will means you can use it or you can misuse it. You can say, well, why did he give us free will without the ability to misuse it? Then it's not really free will. You understand? Free will has to have the potential to be misused. Otherwise, it is not free will. So that Krishna gives you the choice to love him or leave him means now you can actually love him. If there's no choice, you can't actually love him. You understand? If I put a gun in your head and say, love me or I'll blow your brains out, it'll be very easy to love me. He said, just take the gun away from my head, please. You see? So that is Krishna's love. He gives you the choice to love him or leave him. You're actually one of his associates from the spiritual world. But you misuse that independence to try to enjoy separately from Krishna. It's like you were sitting with, for example, a cowherd boy is sitting with Krishna on the bank of Jamuna in the spiritual world. And Krishna opens his lunch bag that Mother Jasoda packed for him. And you open your lunch bag and Krishna has a glove jamun and you don't. And you go and you look at his glove jamun and you're envious. Actually, you're already in the material world as soon as you're envious of Krishna. There's no delay. In the spiritual world, no one is envious of Krishna. Everyone just relishes how Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. You see. But because we manifested a tendency to be envious of Krishna's position of the supreme enjoyment, wanting to have that position ourselves, that's why we're here. So now you have to get back to that position of not wanting to be the supreme enjoyer and being absolutely delighted to simply serve the enjoyment of the supreme enjoyer with every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances for all of eternity. But the insider secret is that mood of giving enjoyment to the supreme enjoyer gives more enjoyment than being the supreme enjoyer. That's why Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. Because he noticed that Radharani, even though I'm supreme enjoyer, by serving me, she's enjoying more than me. So Krishna does not want to be outdone. Therefore, Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya to taste even greater pleasure of than being the supreme enjoyer. So being a devotee of Krishna is actually more enjoyable than being Krishna. So there's no reason to be envious. This is what one realizes, you see. Then he never falls down again. So try to understand these points. And if it's still confusing, I'll give you my card. You can correspond with me on this issue. Here's my card. So I thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Prema Nandi.